الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، so we welcome you all brothers and sisters to the lesson by Abu Hatim Ali ibn Zayd al-Madkhali, the son of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali حفظه الله, and the son of the Sheikh Abu Hatim. He was given permission by his father to benefit us and deliver lessons for us. And also, as some of you have heard in the previous lesson with Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, Hafidhahullah, that he told us and he advised us to benefit from him. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him for his intention and also for his efforts, and also يعني, for visiting the brothers and benefiting them.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أولا، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يجعل هذا الاجتماع مباركا، وأن يفقهني وإياكم في الدين، ويجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهه الكريم موافقة لسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا مررتم برياض الجنة فارتعوا. قيل: يا رسول الله، وما رياض الجنة؟ قال: حلق الذكر، يعني المكان الذي يذكر فيه الله عز وجل، آية من كتاب الله أو حديث من سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أو قول من أقوال السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. هذا الذي حثنا عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أننا إذا مررنا عليه أن نرتع، أي نلتحق به. وما ذلك إلا للفائدة العظيمة التي يحصل عليها من يلتحق بهذا الركب العظيم.
نعم، أبو حاتم، may Allah preserve him, he began firstly by greeting everyone, and he said, I ask Allah Almighty and Exalted to make this gathering of us or of ours a blessed one, and that he grant us the understanding in the religion, and he make our actions sincerely for his sake, and also in agreement or in accordance to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, if you pass by the gardens of paradise, then join them. If you pass by the gardens of paradise, then join them. And the gardens of paradise here is the circles of knowledge, the circles of remembrance, or the circles of knowledge, meaning the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being mentioned by way of يعني, mentioning a verse or narration from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or a statement from the statement of the Salaf. So this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to do. So he encouraged us to, when we pass by a garden or a circle of knowledge, that we join it. Yes, and this is only for the benefit which is achieved from these circles of knowledge and these circles of remembrance.
ثم إنني أشكر الإخوة القائمين على مسجد دار السنة الذين دعونا إلى هذا المكان الطيب الذي أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعله مكانا مباركا ومنبرا من منابر الإسلام للدعوة الصحيحة، الدعوة التي كان يدعو إليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ممن كان على وممن جاء بعده عليه الصلاة والسلام وكان على النهج الصحيح من الفرقة الناجية الطائفة المنصورة.
Afterwards, the Sheikh said that I thank the brothers who are in charge of this mosque, يعني for inviting us to this place, to this blessed place. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a blessed place, and also a member, a pulpit for a good call or a righteous call, just like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call, and those who followed the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ثم إنني أثني لكم بحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي يذكرنا فيه بطلب العلم وفضله وما هو لطالب العلم من الأجر العظيم في الدنيا والآخرة. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما، أو في رواية يطلب فيه علما، سلك الله به طريقا من طرق الجنة، وإن الملائكة لتضع أجنحتها رضا لطالب العلم، وإن العالم ليستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض، والحيتان في جوف الماء، وإن فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر ليلة البدر على سائر الكواكب، وإن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء، وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما، وإنما ورثوا العلم، فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر.
Abu Hatim Hafidhahullah, he continued and he said, and I will mention to you another narration from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he advises us to seek knowledge, and also he shows us the virtue of knowledge and the virtue of the student of knowledge, and the reward that the student of knowledge would achieve in the worldly life and in the hereafter. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration, whosoever traverses a path in which he intends to seek knowledge from, Allah will make easy for him a path towards paradise. And indeed the angels, they lower their wings for the student of knowledge. And indeed the virtue of the scholar over the worshipper is like the virtue of the moon, when it's the full moon, the virtue of the full moon over the rest of the stars. And indeed the scholar everyone in the heavens and the earth, every person or everything in the heaven and the earth will seek forgiveness for him, even the whales in the bottom of the sea. And indeed the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, and the prophets did not leave behind a dinar or dirham, any type of money or currency. Rather, they have left behind knowledge, so whosoever took from that, he had achieved a great share.
لنستمع إلى حبر الأمة عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما يروي لنا قصة حدثت في زمنه. كان عبد الله بن عباس صغيرا في السن، وكان هناك كبار الصحابة في ذلك اليوم بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال لأخ له أنصاري، قال له: تعال نطلب العلم من كبار الصحابة، فطنة من هذا الرجل رضوان الله عليه، يعلم أنه ربما احتيج إليه، لأنه الموت كتب على كل حي إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال له: تعالى نطلب العلم، من الصحابة، من كبار الصحابة، من أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وسائر الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين. فقال له الأنصاري: أو تظن أن الناس يحتاجون إليك وهناك أكابر الصحابة؟ هل تظن أنهم سينظرون إليك أو يأخذون من علمك وهناك أبو بكر وعمر وغيره من كبار الصحابة؟ فقال عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما، قال: العجب لك يا ابن عباس، أترى الناس يحتاجون إليك وفي الأرض من ترى من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ يقول ابن عباس: فتركته وأقبلت على المسألة، أسأل الصحابة عن مسائل العلم الشرعي وتتبع أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقد كنت آتي الرجل في الحديث يبلغني أنه سمعه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأجده قائلا، يعني وقت القيلولة نائم، فأتوسد ردائي على بابه أنتظره حتى يصحو من نومه. وهو من؟ ابن عباس رضي الله، ابن عم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول تسفي الرياح في وجهي حتى يخرج، فإذا خرج قال، يقول له صاحب الدار يا ابن عم رسول الله ما لك؟ فأقول بلغني حديث عنك أنك تحدثه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأحببت أن أسمعه منك. قال فيقول له فهل لا بعثت إلي حتى آتيك؟ ومن هنا تقدير أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لآل بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكن بدون غلو وبدون جفاء. فأهل السنة والجماعة وسط بين من يغلو في آل بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي من يجفو آل بيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأقول أنا أحق أن آتيك، لأن صاحب الحاجة هو الذي يذهب إليها، يعني يذهب إلى العلم، يذهب إلى العالم حتى يؤخذ منه العلم. فكان الأنصاري بعد ذلك يراني، يقول ابن عباس، فكان الأنصاري بعد ذلك يراني وقد ذهب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، يعني ماتوا، واحتاج الناس إلي فيقول كنت أعقل مني، يعني كنت ذا عقل ولم أكن أفكر في مستقبل الأيام. لذا نصيحتي لكل أخ يسمع الآن ليتعلم العلم، فإنه لا يعلم متى يحتاج إليه. لا تقول يوجد فلان وفلان من مشايخ العلم ومن كبار هيئة كبار العلماء وكذا، إنما انظر متى يحتاج الناس إليك، ثم انظر إلى أهل بيتك، أقرب الناس إليك. لا بد أن تتفقه وتطلب العلم حتى تنور بصائرهم بعد أن تستنير بصيرتك أنت. أطلت عليك.
Now, so Abu Hatim Hafidhullah, he continued and he said, so let us hear a narration from Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. He narrates a story to us that happened in a time when he was young, after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. And at that time, the major companions were present after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ibn Abbas said to a brother, or he said to another man from the Ansar. He said to a man from the Ansar, he said to him, he said, let's go to seek knowledge. Let us go to seek knowledge from the major companions. And this is an instinct, a good instinct from Ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him. Abu Hatim, this is a good instinct from him. He knew that perhaps they might need him when he grows up. The people might need him, or they need his knowledge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decreed death upon every living soul. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decreed death upon every living soul. So he said to him, let us go to seek knowledge from the major sahaba. يعني Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, may Allah be pleased with them. So he said, the Ansari, the man who Ibn Abbas was speaking to, he said to Ibn Abbas, he said, do you think that the people are in need of you when the companions such as Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman are alive, or are amongst the people? Do you think people will need you or will need your knowledge? So Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, so I have left him, or I have abandoned him, and started seeking knowledge. I had approached seeking knowledge, and وقبلت على المسألة, and I started seeking knowledge and asking, questioning in order to acquire knowledge. And he said, and also I used to follow the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I used to follow the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, I used to come to the person, or come to a man or because of a hadith. I heard that he was narrating a hadith, or he had knowledge of a narration. So I would go to him so that he will narrate it to me. And when I reach that person, or when I reach the house of that person, I would find him taking a nap. I would come to him in a time where he's taking a nap. So I use my rida, my garment as a pillow, and I lie down next to his door. I would lie down next to his door, and the wind will be attacking my face. Until that person wakes up, until the man wakes up and he comes out. And when the man comes out, he says, "Ya ibn amma Rasulillah." He said, "The cousin of the Messenger of Allah." He said, "What is the matter with you? What is the matter with you? Yani, how can I help you?" And Ibn Abbas said, "I would say that it had reached me that you were narrating, or that you have a narration from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I wish that you would narrate it to me. I wish that I hear it from you." So the man would say to Ibn Abbas, "Yani, you should have asked me to come to you. You should have asked me to come to you." And Abu Hatim, may Allah peace with him, he said that, "Yani, this is from the etiquette of the companions. They hold, yani, the family of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a high place, and they show them their due respect without being extreme, and without, of course, yani, disregarding their rights." So Ahlus Sunnah are, yani, in the middle between those people who are extreme and those people who do not pay any attention to the family of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or do not show them any respect. So Ahlus Sunnah are in the middle. So the man would say to Ibn Abbas, "You should have asked me to come to you." Then Ibn Abbas, he says, I would say to him, or I would reply to him, "You are more deserving for me to come to you, because, yani, he's the one seeking knowledge." So, and then Ibn Abbas, he continues and says, so the man, the Ansari man, the one who, in the beginning of the story where he told him, "Let's go seek knowledge," would see me afterwards when the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. He would see me, and after the companions, or the major companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had passed away, and the people now are in need of me and in need of my knowledge. And then this Ansari man, he would say to Ibn Abbas, "You are more intelligent than me. You are more intelligent than me." Meaning, yani, you sought knowledge and you thought that it would be needed.
Advise him to.
So the Abu Hatim Allah preserve me said, so my advice, therefore, for every person to study, to seek knowledge, because the person does not know that his knowledge may be needed. His knowledge may be needed, and he should not say that the committee of the major scholars are present, or major scholars are alive, so no one is in need of me. He should not say that, and he should also look towards his household and how they are in need of educating. So he should learn and he should seek the understanding of the religion and remove the ignorance from himself, and then benefit his household.
لذا يجب على كل عاقل منا أن يتعلم ليرفع الجهل عن نفسه وعن قرابته، وليبدأ في القرابة بأهل بيته. ولنتأمل قول الله عز وجل: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون؟ والجواب: لا يستوي. يعني عندما يكون إنسان عنده علم وآخر لا علم له، هل هما سواء؟ لا والله. لذا قال الله عز وجل: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون؟ والجواب كما قلت لكم: لا يستويان هذا الفريق وهذا الفريق. ثم أنه إذا رفع الجهل عن نفسه بدأ برفع الجهل عن أهل بيته، ثم بعد ذلك يتدرج فيما بعد ليرفع الجهل عمن يعرف في حيه، في قريته، في مدينته. لذا جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قوله: إن الله وملائكته وأهل السماوات وأهل الأرض، حتى النملة في جحرها وحتى الحوت في البحر، ليصلون على معلم الناس الخير. معنى الصلاة الدعاء له، وما ذلك إلا لفضل عمله الذي يقوم به، التي هي وظيفة الأنبياء والرسل، إخراج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور، أن يعلم الناس الخير، يعني يدلهم على كل طريق يوصلهم إلى جنة الله عز وجل، إلى رضا الله وجنته، ويبعدهم عن كل طريق يوصل إلى غضب الله وأليم عقابه والعياذ بالله.
الحديث بارك الله فيك حديثك.
إن الله وملائكته وأهل السماوات والأرض حتى النملة في جحرها وحتى الحوت في البحر لا يصلون على معلم الناس الخير.
نعم. So therefore, Abu Hatim added, may Allah preserve him, he said, therefore, it is upon every person, every يعني intelligent person or every wise person to intend that he, or to يعني to start seeking knowledge so that he remove the ignorance from himself first and from his household and his family. And let us ponder over the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are they equal, those who know or those who are with, who have knowledge and those who don't? And the answer to that, or to the answer to this question is no, they are not equal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he asks the people of knowledge, are they equal to those who do not possess any knowledge? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the verse, and the answer, as I mentioned, they are not equal. So the person should begin by removing the ignorance from himself, then from the people of his household, then from the people that he knows, yani in his neighborhood, in his city, and so on. It has been authentically narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, indeed Allah and his angels and whoever's in the heavens and the earth, even the ants in their holes, they يعني send salutations upon the person who teaches the people goodness, who teaches the people the good. And this is only because of the virtue of his action when he teaches the people. This is due to his virtue of the action that he carries out. And also because he guides the people to the path of good, and also to the path of Jannah, and he turns them away from the path of hellfire and from the path of evil.
وهناك بعض الوصايا والنصائح لكل من أراد أن يطلب العلم دونها بعض العلماء في كتبهم أخذت منها بعضا لأستفيد ويستفيد السامع منها. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا ممن يستمع القول فيتبع أحسنه. من هذه الوصايا أن يؤخذ العلم عن أهله، أن يأخذ المرء العلم ممن يثق في علمه، يكون على نهج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى نهج السلف الصالح، يأخذ علمه من كتاب الله وصحيح سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على فهم سلف هذه الأمة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم. هذه هي النصيحة الأولى، أن يأخذ العلم من أهله.
نعم. And Abu Hanim al-Abhazani said that there are some يعني pieces of advice that every person who intends to seek knowledge should يعني implement or should take care of, and those يعني pieces of advice have been written by the scholars, and I have chosen a few of them so that I benefit from them, and also the people who listen benefit from them. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those who, when they hear the speech, they يعني implement the best of it. The first one is that you take the people from you take the knowledge from its people. You take knowledge from its people. So you take the knowledge from a person who is يعني from the people of knowledge, and he's a person who is upon the methodology of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the methodology of the pious predecessors, and يعني you take the knowledge from the book of Allah and the authentic, that which is authentic from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah, the Salaf of this nation.
ثم إنه يبدأ بصغار العلم قبل كباره، يبدأ بالمسائل الصغيرة يتعلمها حتى يتقنها، ثم يبدأ بالذي بعدها.
نعم. After that, the person should start يعني with the easiest topics of knowledge, يعني from the bottom, from the first and the basics, basic topics of knowledge. And he should do that before he jumps to doing something which is advanced or something which is يعني difficult. And he should learn them until he becomes proficient in these يعني topics or in these affairs. And then he moves on.
ثم إنه إذا حصل علما يحاول أن يثبت ما حصله، وذلك بالمذاكرة أن يتذاكر حتى مع نفسه أن يعيد المسائل التي أتقنها، أو أن يعيدها مع أقرانه، أو أن يسأل من هو أعلم منه حتى يتبين أنه أتقن ذلك. يقول بعض السلف: كن على مدارسة ما في صدرك أحرص منك على مدارسة ما في كتبك. يعني إذا حصلت علما، هذا العلم يجب عليك أن تكرره وأن تحافظ عليه، لا أن تنساه فقط. يعني ليس معنى أن تأتي إلى الأصول الثلاثة ثم تقرأها مرة واحدة أو مرتين ثم تترك ذلك. يجب عليك أن تراجع وتذاكر حتى مع الأقران، يعني من هم في سنك، حتى تثبت هذه المعلومة. ننظر ماذا يقول النووي رحمه الله في شرحه على صحيح مسلم رحمه الله، يقول: فإنه بالمذاكرة يثبت المحفوظ ويتحرر. يعني عندما تذاكر المسألة التي درستها وقرأتها وفهمتها، عندما تذاكرها وتعيدها فإنها تثبت، ولذا تثبت أكثر عندما تعلمها غيرك، تثبت أكثر. يقول: ويتأكد ويتقرر ويزداد بحسب كثرة المذاكرة. تفضل. أحيانا أطيل عليك لك.
طيب بارك الله فيك. نعم. After that أبو حاتم رضي الله عنه he said that when a person if he reaches a stage where he acquired some knowledge then he should يعني try to affirm or make firm his, that which he had learned by way of revision. Yes, and the person should revise even with himself. He should revise even with himself or with his colleagues or his his friends, or he should ask a person who is more knowledgeable than him, يعني as way of revision, until يعني becomes clear that he is proficient in that science. And some of the Salaf they said. He said, "يعني be more vigilant in revising that which is in your heart more than that which is in your books, more than that which is written in your books." So the Abu Hatim al-Marafizami said, "So it is upon you to revise that which you have learned." And he said, for example, if a person studied al-usul al-thalatha, so he should not يعني completely neglect it after he has studied it once. He should not neglect it, but rather he should go back to it and read it once and twice until he يعني becomes proficient in it, and he يعني he makes his memory firm, and he makes his memory strong. So upon you is revision, and we look towards the explanation of Imam Nawawi to Sahih Muslim, and he said, may Allah have mercy on him. He said, for indeed يعني with revision you make firm that which you have memorized. With revision you make firm that which you have memorized. And Abu Hatim al-Rafizam, he added, he said, so when the person revises, he makes يعني, the information that he has يعني, firmer and his memory stronger. And likewise, when the person he teaches after he learned, when he teaches the knowledge, he also, this is also يعني, a revision for him, and the information become يعني, more firm, and his memory become even firmer.
من الوصايا أيضا تسجيل العلم وتقييده، ولذا ورد في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي حسنه الألباني رحمه الله تعالى بمجموع طرقه، لأن في بعض طرقه ضعفا، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قيد العلم بالكتاب، يعني بكتابته. ولذا تقول العرب: ما كتب قر وما حفظ فر، يعني أن الذي يكتب يقر ويستقر ويبقى، وما حفظ لأن من عادة الإنسان النسيان ينسى، وما حفظ فر إلا من رحم الله، بعضهم تجد له، ولكن تجد هذا قليل جدا، يعني تجده قليل جدا أنه إنسان يحفظ ولا ينسى إلا القليل. لذا كان من العقل أنه كلما حصلت على معلومة شرعية فيها خير وبركة أن تقيدها. ورحم الله الإمام الشافعي الذي يقول: العلم صيد والكتابة قيده، قيد صيودك بالحبال الواثقة، فمن الحماقة أن تصيد غزالة وتفكها بين الخلائق طالقة. يعني إذا حصلت على شيء ثمين فاحفظه، يعني قيده، وهنا التقييد بمعنى الكتابة.
نعم. So also from the advice, يعني while seeking knowledge, that is that the person he writes down that which he learns. And it has been narrated in a hadith which has been declared sound by Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah, by يعني way of gathering all of the chains of narration, because some of them have a weakness in them. But by يعني from the number of the chains of narration, the hadith moves up to be a sound hadith. So he said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith, he said, قيد العلم بالكتاب. So restrict the knowledge with writing. Restrict the knowledge with writing. Or save the knowledge with writing. So therefore, the Arabs used to say, ما كتب قر وما حفظ فر. So that which is written will stay. That which is written will stay, and that which is memorized will flee or will run away. Except, of course, يعني, so the brother said, "May Allah preserve Abu Hatim." He said, "So anything when a person writes, that would stay. As for if the person relies upon his memory, then he might forget or lose some of the information that the person has. Except, of course, the one who Allah Subhanahu wa Taala have mercy upon, and there are very few those who memorize and they do not tend to forget anything. Yes, and there are very few." So it is from wisdom that whenever a person listens or he hears any benefit, any information from the legislation, any benefit from the religion, that he writes it. As Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said in a line of poetry, he said, العلم صيد والكتابة قيده. يعني the knowledge is like that which is to be hunted, something which is to be hunted or poached, and والكتابة قيده, and writing the knowledge is it's rope, something which you tie it with, you restrict it with. That writing is something which you restrict the knowledge with. قيد صيدك بالحبال الواثقة. So restrict that which you are hunting with firm ropes. Restrict that which you are hunting with firm ropes.
من الحماقة أن تصيد غزالة.
So it is from foolishness that you hunt a gazelle.
وتتركها بين الخلائق طالقة.
And you, it is from foolishness that you would hunt a gazelle and you would leave it amongst the creation without any leash or without any restriction, without any rope.
أيضا بمناسبة التقييد، تقييد الكتاب، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث، من هذه الثلاث علم ينتفع به. عندما تكتب هذه الكتابة تبقى لمن بعدك، ويقول المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا، حتى لا تقول أنا من بجانب هؤلاء العلماء الذين ألفوا وكتبوا وكذا، إنما إن رأيت أن ما كتبته صوابا يوافق كتاب الله وصحيح سنة نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فانشره، لا تحقر من المعروف شيئا. الله عز وجل قد يبارك لك في هذا العمل وتجده كالجبال يوم القيامة حسنات، ربما يستفيد منه شخص ثم يفيد بعدك أشخاص كثر أنت لا تعلمهم، ولكن أحصاه الله ونسوه. الله عز وجل لا يضيع أجر من أحسن عملا. ثم إنك إن سمعت إنسانا يتحدث، أحد العلماء مثلا، أو في الراديو أو في التلفاز أو كذا، ثم مرت بك معلومة جديدة عليك، قيدها، لأنه ربما لا تستمع إليه مرة ثانية. فمن العقل أن تقيد كل شيء فيه خير لك وفيه صلاح وفيه فلاح، ثم تفيد به نفسك وتفيد به غيرك.
نعم. So with the occasion of mentioning that you should write the topics of knowledge or any benefit with the person or any benefit or information which the person hears. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration, when the son of Adam passes away, all of his actions are cut off except from three ways. And he mentioned one of them, a knowledge which is benefited from. And when the person writes and he authors a book, then this is benefited, or this remains after he dies as well. And the people benefit from this after he passes away. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Do not belittle anything from the ma'ruf, from the goodness or from the good. Do not belittle anything. So do not say, who am I يعني, besides those scholars? Who am I besides those scholars? And if you see that which you are about to write, or that which you will write, something which is in agreement and in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then write it. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal would bless it, and he would make it in a day of judgment يعني, worth like, mountains of reward. And perhaps maybe a person would benefit from it. A person would benefit from that which you have wrote. أحصاه الله ونسوه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he held account of it. He recorded it, and they have forgotten it. Allah had recorded it, but they have forgotten it. And also, Allah لا يضيع أجر من أحسن عمل, and Allah does not waste the reward of those who do good. So if you listen to the radio, or if you listen to any يعني lecture or any type of talk, and you hear a benefit, يعني a benefit, then you should write it. You should write it, and it is from wisdom that the person he writes that which he يعني, which is beneficial, so that he learns, and then maybe he can benefit someone else with it.
تذكرت قبل أن أكمل والدي حفظه الله وإياكم يسلم عليكم جميعا والله حملني هذه الرسالة وقال لي سلم على الإخوة هناك في مسجد دار السنة بارك الله فيكم. من الوصايا أيضا الاستمرار في طلب العلم وعدم الفتور, يعني أنه لا يطلب العلم فترة بسيطة ثم يقول اكتفيت, لأنه لا بد أن يتعلم الإنسان العلم الذي يرفع عنه الجهل, والعلم الذي يرفع عنك الجهل يعني يجدر بك أن تتعلم منذ أن تعي حتى الممات. لذا ورد في السير, جاء في السير أن أحد العلماء سئل إلى متى يكتب الرجل الحديث يعني يتعلم, فقال حتى الموت يعني حتى يموت, ويصب باقي حبره في قبره, يعني أنه ليس لك أن تتعلم سنة أو كذا ثم تقول أنا اكتفيت بهذه المدة, إنما يجب عليك أن تتعلم. ولذا كان الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى يحمل محبرته دائما في يده, أوراقه ومحبرته وأقلامه, فيقال له يا إمام إلى متى, يعني إلى متى العلم وتتعلم وتكتب؟ قال من المحبرة إلى المقبرة, يعني أنه ليس هناك مدة بسيطة تأتي فيها بقليل من العلم وترى أنك قد أحرزت الكثير والكثير. لو فتش الإنسان نفسه لوجد قصورا كثيرا في طلب العلم. فالذي يجب علينا وينبغي علينا أن نحرص على طلب العلم حتى تلتف الساق بالساق.
نعم. So our brother Abu Hatim Al Abazam, he said, I remembered something before يعني we continue, that my father Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah, that he passes his greetings on to you all. And he said, يعني, convey my greetings to all the people in Masjid Dar al-Sunnah. And يعني, this is a message that he asked me to convey to you all. May Allah bless you. So thirdly, from the يعني, advice of while seeking knowledge, is that the person he continues upon seeking knowledge. The person he continues upon seeking knowledge, and he does not have any futur, يعني, any laziness or any periods where he stops and he takes a break from seeking knowledge due to يعني, exhaustion or due to يعني, being tired. So he should not do it يعني for a specific period and then abandon it. So the person, he should always continue to seek knowledge. Because when the person seeks the knowledge which removes the ignorance from him, from the person, then this type of knowledge is worth or is deserving of being sought until the person passes away. This type of knowledge which removes the ignorance from the person is deserving to be sought until the person until the person dies. And it has been narrated in some of the books of biographies, Siyar, that a scholar was asked, until when does the person or does the man write hadith? Until when does the man write hadith? So he said, until he dies, until time of death, and you pour his ink or the ink that he used to write with in his grave with him. He goes in the grave with him. So you should not seek knowledge only for 1 year and then you stop. You should not seek knowledge for only for 1 year or for a specific period and then you stop. It has been narrated from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal that he used to carry his ink and he used to carry his paper with him everywhere he goes. And then he was asked, until when? Until when do you seek knowledge? Until when do we seek knowledge? He said, Al-Mahbara ila al-Maqbara, yani the ink or writing and authoring and writing hadith until Maqbara, until the person is put in the grave or in the place in his grave. Meaning that it is not, there isn't a specific period where a person should learn and he acquires the knowledge and then he stops. Rather, he should continue. It's not a specific period where the person learns and he stops. He says, this is sufficient for you. Rather, he should continue. And if the person were to look towards himself, he would find that he has a lot of shortcoming in regards to seeking knowledge. Yes? So, the person should strive into seeking knowledge until حتى تلتف الساق بالساق يعني until the time of death comes, until the time of death comes and the agonies of death come.
من الوصايا أيضا عدم العجب بالنفس أو بالعلم, الغرور والعجب, أن يعجب الإنسان بما لديه سواء بنفسه فيحتقر الآخرين أو بعلمه فينتقصهم, وإنما يجدر بطالب العلم أن ينكسر بين يدي الله عز وجل وأن يرى فيه أثر علمه, أن يكون من المتواضعين, لأن من تواضع لله رفعه, لا يرى أنه يعرف أكثر من فلان أو أن فلان جاهلا عاميا, يرى أنه أفضل منه, لأن الله عز وجل يقول إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. لا بد أن يرى أثر العلم على من يحمله, يعني يطبقه تطبيقا عمليا, ثم أن ينسب هذا الفضل لله عز وجل. وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله, فنعمة العلم التي أعطيتها أعطاك الله إياها لم تأتي بها من نفسك, وإنما أعانك الله على أن تحصلها, أعانك الله على تحصيلها, فيجب عليك أن تشكر الله عز وجل أولا, ثم يجب عليك أن يرى أثر هذا العلم عليك.
نعم, also from the advice while seeking knowledge, that the person should not be amazed with himself. The person should not get amazed with himself or with his knowledge or with the knowledge that he possesses. The person should not be amazed with that which he has and therefore belittle the people who do not have it. Rather, it is more deserving of him that he's under the state of humility towards Allah Azza wa Jal. He shows the state of humility towards Allah Azza wa Jal, and also it should be seen on him the effect of the knowledge of the knowledge that he possesses. The effect of the knowledge and the impact of this knowledge that he possesses should be seen on in his appearance and in his conduct. And he should be a person who is humble. Allah Azza wa Jal, as in the hadith, "Man tawadha lillah rafa'a," whosoever is humble towards Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will raise him. So he should not see that, or he should not believe that I am better than Fulan, so and so, because he's from the general folk and he does not have any knowledge, and I have knowledge. He should not think that I am better than him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّ أَكْرَامَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most noble of you are the most pious of you. The most noble of you, according to Allah, are the most pious of you. And it is a must that you see the effect of the knowledge of upon this person due to the knowledge which he carries. And also after that, he should ascribe this knowledge to Allah Azza wa Jal. The knowledge which he has, he should ascribe it and refer it to Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah said, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever favor you possess, or whatever blessing you possess, then it is from Allah. So the favor or the blessing of knowledge, you did not acquire it alone, يعني from your own self. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal, he aided you and he gave you assistance into seeking this knowledge. So upon you now is to seek, or upon you is to show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal and give him and thank him. And also the effect of this knowledge and its impact should be seen on the person.
في هذا الحديث أيضا العجب يؤدي إلى التعالي على الناس والكبر والكبر لله عز وجل. من نازع الله عز وجل الكبر عذبه يوم القيامة كما جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم إن المتكبرين يحشرون يوم القيامة أمثال الذر الحشرة الصغيرة يوم القيامة في عرصات القيامة يداسون بالأقدام لأنهم كانوا يترفعون ويتكبرون على الناس ويحتقرون الناس.
نعم. Also in this topic as well, the person when he's amazed with himself, this would lead him to being arrogant. This would lead to arrogance, and arrogance is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. And as mentioned in an authentic hadith from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, من نازع الله الكبرى.
الكبرياء وردائي والعزة إزاري من نازعني شيئا منهما.
نعم. So whosoever competes with Allah Azza wa Jal, in the attribute of يعني or in the action of being arrogant, yes, because only this belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. So whosoever competes with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala in this, then Allah Azza wa Jal will punish him in the hellfire, in the day of judgment. And the people who are arrogant, متكبرون, the people who are arrogant, they will be resurrected, يعني as small insects. A small insect in the day of judgment, and they will be يعني stamped on by the people في عرصات يوم القيامة, in the places where when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect the people, and will all the people will be awaiting يعني the judgment. Yes, so they will be stamped on by the people, and this is due to their arrogance in the worldly life.
وذلك أن الجزاء عند الله عز وجل من جنس العمل. كانوا يرون الناس ويحتقرونهم, يعني يرون أنهم أفضل من الناس وأكبر وأعلم وكذا, ويرون الناس صغارا عندهم, جازاهم الله عز وجل بهذا.
نعم. And this is due to therefore the reward, الجزاء من جنس العمل according to Allah, يعني the reward is in accordance to the action of the person. The reward is in accordance to the action or to the type of action of the person. So those people, those arrogant people, they used to see the people as people who are less than them, because they possess this knowledge. So they see the people as people who are less than them, and they are higher than them in rank because of what they possess. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he will reward them for their actions. So the reward is in accordance to the type of action they have committed. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, will humiliate them in a day of judgment.
ثم من الوصايا أيضا أن العلم يحتاج إلى صبر طويل, يحتاج أن يكون المتعلم صابرا. العلم لا يأتي في يوم وليلة, وإنما يحتاج إلى صبر ويحتاج إلى جهد. ولذا جاء في صحيح البخاري عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قوله ومن يتصبر يصبره الله عز وجل, يعني أن تأتي بالأسباب ولا يكون في مفهومك أن العلم يأتي في لحظات بسيطة كأن وقت الصلاة.
لا باقي نسمع الأذان إن شاء الله ربما 20 أو 25 دقيقة.
طيب. وذلك بأن العلم لا يتأتى إلى الشخص ولا يأتي إلى الشخص إلا بمجهود وجهد كبير يجب أن يبلغه ذلك المتعلم. فمن أعطى العلم كله يعني معظم وقته وجهده وكذا أعطاه العلم بعضه، يعطى من العلم بعضه، ولكن لا ييأس الإنسان، عليه أن يعمل بالأسباب وأن يتضرع إلى الله عز وجل دائما بالدعاء أن يوفقه للفقه في الدين، وأن ييسر له طلب العلم، وأن يجعله سهلا، وأن تكون في نيته أن يرفع الجهل عن نفسه وعن ذويه وقرابته وعن من يعلم من الناس، وأن ينشر هذا العلم في الناس أجمعين. لأنه إذا علم الله منه مثل هذه النية فإنه سييسر له ذلك، والله عز وجل أكرم الأكرمين.
نعم. Also from the advices in regards to seeking knowledge is that the person he requires يعني long lasting patience. He requires long lasting patience. So the person who's a student of knowledge, he has to be a person who's يعني from his attributes that he's patient. He has the attribute of patience. So the knowledge is not achieved يعني in one day and one night. Within one day and one night. Rather it requires a lot of يعني juhd, a lot of striving. Yes. And a lot of vigilance. So it has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari from the Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he said, وَمَن يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. And whosoever strives into being patient and to acquire patience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him patience. Meaning, the meaning of the Hadith is that the person, he fulfills the reasons to acquire patience. And also, knowledge does not come to the person and it is not achieved except by way of great difficulty and great striving, and which the person or which the student of knowledge reaches. And the knowledge, if you give the knowledge your all, then the knowledge will give you only some of it. If you give the knowledge your all, the knowledge will only give you some of it. Naam? And however, should not cause the person to despair or to find laziness or to turn away from seeking knowledge. Rather, he should fulfill the reasons, and also he should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invoke him, supplicate to him that he makes it easier for him to acquire this knowledge and to seek it. And also he should have a sincere intention the intention is that he removes the ignorance from himself, from his from his household and from the people, and also that he would spread the knowledge after he acquires it. And when Allah Azza wa Jal knows, and if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows this from him, if he knows that this is his intention, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will make it easier for him.
أيضا من الوصايا ليس لطالب العلم أو للمتعلم فقط، إنما لكل مسلم ومسلمة أن يطهر قلبه من الأمراض والأدواء التي تكون في القلوب كالحسد والحقد والبغض. وأما طالب العلم فهو من باب أولى أن يتخلص من هذه الأدواء وهذه الأمراض. فمثلا سمع أن فلانا من الناس عنده علم، لا يحسده على ذلك، وإنما يتمنى له أن يزيده الله عز وجل من فضله ويدعو له. ولذا ورد في صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من دعا لأخيه في ظهر الغيب، من دعا لأخيه في ظهر الغيب قال الملك الموكل به آمين ولك بمثل، وفي رواية ولك مثله، يعني مثل ما دعوت لذلك الرجل لك مثل ذلك الدعاء. وكل عاقل يحرص أن يدعو لأخيه في ظهر الغيب حتى يحصل على تأمين الملك الذي تأمينه مستجاب، ثم يحصل على تلك الدعوة التي دعا لأخيه بها في ظهر الغيب. إذن لا يحسد أحد أحدا من أجل أنه يملك من العلم أكثر منه، وإنما يسأل الله عز وجل أن يزيد ذلك الرجل من فضله، وأن يزيده من العلم الشرعي الذي يفيد به نفسه ويفيد به غيره. ولذا جاء في القرآن الكريم: ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الحسد داء خطير، ويأتي الشيطان إلى كل شخص فيأتيه من جانب الحسد ليحسد فلان وهو لا يعلم أنه يعترض على الله عز وجل. أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك؟ نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم. الله عز وجل هو من أعطى هذا العلم، هو من أعطى هذا المال، هو من أعطى هذا الجاه، فلما تعترض على الله عز وجل؟ هذا من سوء الأدب مع الله عز وجل. أطلت عليك كريم، سامحني.
نعم. Also, from the advice not only for the student of knowledge, rather for every Muslim and Muslimah, is that the person should purify his heart from any diseases such as envy and jealousy and hatred. And as for the student of knowledge, then this should is more deserving of for him rather than the general people, that he purifies his heart from these diseases. For example, if a person hears that so and so, such fulan, he has knowledge, then he should not envy this. He should not envy this person. Rather, he should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would increase him in this from this knowledge, and also to grant him from his virtue. It has been narrated in Sahih Muslim that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whosoever supplicates for his brother, في ظهر الغيب, when no one is around him, in a time of seclusion, then the angel who is in charge of the person, writing his deeds, would say Ameen, would reply to the supplication of this person, saying Ameen, and also would say, and for you is the same. For you is the same. The same supplication is for you as well. So the same dua, the same supplication which you supplicate for this man, then you have the same supplication as well. For that which you asked for the person, you will get the same. And every wise person would strive to supplicate for his brother in a time of seclusion while no one is around, so that he achieves the ta'meen of this angel, where the angel saying Ameen, answering his supplication and saying Ameen, because this angel, his ta'meen is answered, is accepted. So the person should, the people should not envy one another. Rather, they should ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase the person. When you see a person, he's blessed with something, should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase him from his virtue. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him the same, and he benefits himself and benefits others. And therefore, it has been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his noble book, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and from the evil of those who envy, when they envy. Yes? So the envy, al-hasad, is a dangerous illness. It is a dangerous disease. And the shaitan comes to the person from the angle or from the perspective of envy, and he throws the envy into the people's hearts, and the person does not know and he does not understand that when the person he envies, then he is showing objection and he objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree and his judgment. And Allah azza wa jalla said, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his noble book, do they seek to be in charge of how we divide our blessings and favors? Allah says, indeed we have divided their livelihood amongst them.
أيضا من الوصايا أن يحذر المتعلم أن يخالف فعله قوله. عندما تعلم الناس الدين الصحيح وما كان عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحابته الكرام رضوان الله عليهم، عليك أن تكون أول الممتثلين لما تقول قدر الإمكان. لا يكون هناك إنسان كامل، لا بد من الخطأ، ولكن يبتعد كل البعد عن الرياء وعن السمعة. فقد ورد في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن رجلا يكون في النار من أهل النار والعياذ بالله، فيأتيه أناس من أهل النار فيقولون له: يا فلان، ألم تكن تأمرنا بالمعروف وتنهانا عن المنكر؟ فيقول: بلى، يعني نعم كنت آمركم بالمعروف، ولكن يقول: كنت آمركم بالمعروف ولا آتيه، وأنهاكم عن المنكر وآتيه، يعني أفعله. هذا الرجل يكون يدور بقصبه أمعاؤه تخرج وتثبت فيدور عليها كما يدور الجمل على الرحى. هذا كان يأمر الناس بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر، ولكنه لا يطبق ما يفعله، إنما يأمرهم بالمعروف ولا يأتي هذا المعروف، وينهاهم عن المنكر ويأتي هذا المنكر. ولذا عندما وصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه عندما يأمر بالخير يكون أول المبادرين إليه وإلى فعله، وعندما ينهى عن الشر يكون أول المبتعدين عنه والحذرين منه. ولكن نقول أنه لا يوجد إنسان كامل لا يخطئ، يعني لا يأتي الإنسان إلى هذه المقام مثلا، إلى هذه الصفة، ويقول: أنت تقع في الشر فلا تخبر الناس بخير لأنك تقع في الشر. لا بد أن تخبر الناس بالخير، لأنه الإنسان يقع في الشر مهما كان. ولذا الله عز وجل فتح باب التوبة. أنا أطلت عليك، أكمل بعدين.
لا تفضل، تفضل.
لذا الله عز وجل فتح باب التوبة، يقول المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن للتوبة بابا ما بين مصراعيه، ما بين المشرق إلى المغرب، لا يقفل حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. وفي الحديث الذي في الصحيحين: لله أشد فرحا بتوبة عبده من أحدكم، كان في فلاه في صحراء، وكان على راحلته، كان عليها طعامه وشرابه، فانفلتت منه فأيس منها، فاضطجع تحت ظل شجرة ينتظر الموت، ثم نام فإذا براحلته أمامه، قائمة أمامه، فقال: اللهم أنت عبدي وأنا ربك. أخطأ من شدة الفرح، الله عز وجل أشد فرحا من هذا براحلته، يحب من عبده أن يتوب إليه، إن الله يحب التوابين، يحبهم، يعلم ضعف الإنسان، ضعف بني آدم، لذا يحب توبة التائبين. نكمل، الله يبارك فيك. إذا رأيتني أوقفني.
خير إن شاء الله، الله يبارك فيك. And also the person or the student of knowledge should be aware of his actions opposing his speech. His actions opposing his speech or contradicting his speech. So when the person he learns or when the when the person he learns the correct religion and that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and that which his companions were upon, then he should be the first ones, from the first ones who act upon this. And he should not, of course, Abu Hatim said, of course, the person, no one is complete, no one is perfect. However, the person should stay away, far away from, seeking fame or seeking to be known. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration that a person would be in the hellfire. A person would be in the hellfire. And some other people in hellfire will come to him and they will say to him, Ya Fulan, oh so and so. Didn't you used to forbid the evil? You used to tell it to forbid the evil from us while we do it, and you used to command us to do the good. And he said, he would say to them, yes, I used to command you with the good, but I never used to fulfill it. And I used to forbid the evil, you fall into the evil, and I used to do it.
And this man, his punishment would be that his intestines would be planted in the in a place, and he will go around it. He will go around his intestines. So such man, he used to order, or he used to command the people with good. He used to command them with ma'ruf, but he never used to do it. And he used to bid the evil, by falling into it, and he used to do it himself. And also from the things which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was described with, is that when he commands with good, he would be the first ones to do it. And when he forbids any evil, he would be from the first ones to stay away from it. However, we say that no one is perfect. Yeah, I know there's not any human being who is perfect. But the person should not say, despite this, the person should not say that of a single, despite a single evil attribute that he has, I will not command the good and forbid the evil, because I have some evil in myself as well. He should not say this, because no one is perfect. And Allah Azza wa Jal, for this reason, He opened the door of repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He opened the door of repentance. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed repentance has a door. The width of this door is equivalent to that which is from the east and the west. And it would not be shut down until the sun comes out from the west. And also the hadith which is mentioned in the Sahihain Bukhari and Muslim, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah is more happy for the repentance of a slave, more than a man when he was traveling and he had his camel and his food and everything was on top of his camel. His luggage and his food was on top of his camel, and he was in an open desert, and he lost his camel. His camel left him, and he lost the camel. Then he stayed under a tree and he slept. And when he woke up, he found waiting death. Because there's no escape for him. So he slept under the tree. And when he woke up, he saw the camel in front of him with his food and everything. And then he said, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I'm your Lord," out of happiness. He made a mistake due to their extreme happiness, or due to the extreme state of happiness that he was in. So Allah Azza wa Jal is more happy than that person when he found his camel. So it is upon the person to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is upon the slave to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, He loves those who repent to Him. Na'am, and He knows the weakness of son of Adam. That's why He opened the door of repentance.
لذا أيضا في هذه المسألة أو في هذه الوصية يجب على الإنسان وجوبا أن يأمر الناس بالخير ويفعل الخير حتى يقتدي به الناس، يعني يقتدون به، يرون فعله، وإذا جاء وحذرهم من الشر يكون أبعد الناس من هذا الشر. ولنستمع إلى حديث ثوبان رضي الله تعالى عنه الذي فيه وعيد، ولكن لا يجعل المسلم يقنط من رحمة الله، إنما فيه وعيد شديد. جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحوله بعض الصحابة جلوس، فقال: لألفين أناسا من أمتي يأتون بحسنات أمثال جبال تهامة بيضا، يعني يأتون بحسنات كثيرة وعظيمة جدا جدا، هذه الحسنات يجعلها الله هباء منثورا. قال ثوبان: صفهم لنا يا رسول الله، جلهم لنا ألا نكون منهم. وانظروا إلى حرص الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم، حرص أن يعرف ما هي صفاتهم حتى لا يكون منهم، يبتعد عنهم وعن طريقتهم. قال له: يا رسول الله، صفهم لنا، جلهم لنا ألا نكون منهم. قال: أما إنهم من بني جلدتكم وأنهم يعملون بعملكم، يعني أنهم مثلكم مسلمين، ولكنهم يعملون الخير أمام الناس، وإذا خلوا بمحارم الله انتهكوها، يعني إذا كانوا في الخفاء لوحدهم فعلوا المعاصي. وهذا يجب على كل عاقل أن يتفكر في مثل هذا الحديث، لأن فيه وعيدا شديدا، ولكن لا يقنط من رحمة الله عز وجل، وإنما يداوي نفسه دائما بالتوبة والاستغفار واللجوء إلى الله عز وجل، لأن الشيطان سيأتي إليه من كل جانب. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يرحم ضعفنا ويجبر كسرنا.
Also, يعني in this regard, it is upon the person or it is upon the slave, يعني as an obligation that he commands with good, and he also should fulfill it. He should do it, so that the people would يعني take example in him and follow his يعني his way. And also, when he warns the people and he forbids any evil, يعني he would be the first one, or he would be the one furthest away from this evil which he forbids. And let us hear, or let us listen to the hadith of Thawban, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith of which has يعني a great threat for punishment. But however, this hadith should not cause the person to despair. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and around him were the companions, and he said, I would find, indeed, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would find people from my ummah will come with that which is equivalent to mountains of Tehama in reward. And Allah will make their actions يعني blown in the wind. Allah will make the actions blown in the wind, يعني nullified. He will nullify their actions. So Thawban, may Allah be pleased with him, he said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, describe them to us, O Messenger of Allah, so that we are not from them, so that we do not be from them. And Abu Hatim Malafizam, he said, look at the companions, how they were striving into avoiding these things, and also in asking the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to clarify and the description and attributes of those people, so they do not fall into their actions. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed they are from your skin, or they have the same skin as you, they are same people as you, and وَيَعْمَلُونَ بِعَمَلِكُمْ, and they do the same actions as you, meaning that they are Muslim. And they do يعني the khair, they carry out the khair in front of the people, in the presence of the people they do the good deeds. And when they are in seclusion, they cross the boundaries of Allah. When they are in the seclusion, they cross the boundaries of Allah and they transgress over them. And therefore it is upon every intellectual person يعني to ponder over the punishment of the people who do this in this hadith, because in this hadith holds a great threat for punishment, yani that is all of the actions of the person would be nullified. However, the person should not despair, and also he should provide cure and medication for himself by way of repentance and supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal.
نسأل الله عز وجل أن يغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما هو أعلم به منا، هو المقدم وهو المؤخر، لا إله إلا هو. وأسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر ما كان من زلل في هذا المجلس، وأن يجعله مجلسا مباركا ننتفع به جميعا، وأن يجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهه الكريم موافقة لسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. واعذروني أطلت عليكم، وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بارك الله فيك. اللهم نعم. We ask Allah عز وجل that He will forgive our sins, that which had preceded, also that which is which is to come, and that which we which is hidden, and that which we make apparent. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal also to forgive whatever mistake was present in this gathering or in this circle of knowledge, and also that He makes this gathering and circle of knowledge a blessed one, and also to make our actions sincerely for His sake and in accordance to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I apologize to you for prolonging, and sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.